system. But we're a place of learning and building, not of destruction. I tell you, if one of those hot-headed Santani rebels comes near our stuff... Rach, Harry broke in, how bad is it? Are you close to the fighting? Dad, are you in danger? Asked Wanda. They waited a few seconds for their message to travel the 9,000 parsecs across the galaxy to Rach. I couldn't quite make out what you said, the hologram replied. There's a bit of fighting going on. It's sort of exciting, actually, Rach said, breaking into that grin again. So I'm going to sign off now. Remember, find out what happened to the Arcadia 7 going to Anacreon. I'll be back in touch as soon as I'm able. Remember, I... The transmission broke off, and the hologram faded. The holoscreen tunnel collapsed in on itself, so that Selden and Wanda were left staring at a blank wall. Grandpa, said Wanda, what do you think he was going to say? I have no idea, dear. But there is one thing I do know, and that is that your father can take care of himself. I pity any rebel who gets near enough for a well-placed twist kick from your dad. Come, let's get back to that equation, and in a few hours we'll check on the Arcadia 7. Commander, have you no idea what happened to the ship? Harry Selden was again engaged in intergalactic conversation, but this time it was with an Imperial Navy commander stationed at Anacreon. For this communication, Selden was making use of the visiscreen, much less realistic than the holoscreen, but also much simpler. I'm telling you, Professor, that we have no record of that hypership requesting permission to enter the Anacreonic atmosphere. Of course, communications with Santani have been broken for several hours, and sporadic at best for the last week. It is possible that the ship tried to reach us on a Santani-based channel and could not get through, but I doubt it. No, it's more likely that the Arcadia 7 changed destination. Voreg, perhaps, or Serip. Have you tried either of those worlds, Professor? No, said Selden wearily. But I see no reason, if the ship was bound for Anacreon, that it would not go to Anacreon. Commander, it is vital that I locate that ship. Of course, the commander ventured. The Arcadia 7 might not have made it. Out safely, I mean. There's a lot of fighting going on. Those rebels don't care who they blow up. They just train their lasers and pretend it's the Emperor Aegis they're blasting. I tell you, it's a whole different game out here on the fringe, Professor. My daughter-in-law and granddaughter are on that ship, Commander, Selden said in a tight voice. Oh, I'm sorry, Professor, said an abashed commander. I'll be in touch with you as soon as I hear anything. Dispiritedly, Harry closed the visiscreen contact. How tired I am, he thought. And, he mused, I'm not surprised. I've known that this would come for nearly 40 years. Selden chuckled bitterly to himself. Perhaps that commander had thought he was shocking Selden, impressing him with the vivid detail of life on the fringe. But Selden knew all about the fringe. And as the fringe came apart, like a piece of knitting with one loose thread, the whole piece would unravel to the core. Trantor. Selden became aware of a soft buzzing sound. It was the door signal. Yes? Grandpa, said Wanda, entering the office. I'm scared. Why, dear? Asked Selden with concern. He didn't want to tell her yet what he had learned, or hadn't learned, from the commander on Anacreon. Usually, although they're so far away, I feel Dad and Mom and Bellis. Feel them in here. She pointed to her head. And in here. She placed her hand over her heart. But now, today, I don't feel them. It feels less, as if they're fading, like one of the dome bulbs. And I want to stop it. I want to pull them back, but I can't. Wanda, I really think this is merely a product of your concern for your family in light of the rebellion. You know that uprisings occur all over the Empire all the time, little eruptions to let off steam. Come now, you know the chances of anything happening to Rach, Manella, or Bellis are vanishingly small. Your dad will call any day to say all is well. Your mom and Bellis will land on Anacreon at any moment and enjoy a little vacation. We're the ones to be pitied. We're stuck here, up to our ears in work. So, sweetheart, go to bed and think only good thoughts. I promise you, tomorrow, under the Sunny Dome, things will look much better. All right, Grandpa, said Wanda, not sounding entirely convinced. But tomorrow, if we haven't heard by tomorrow, we'll have to... Wanda, what can we do except wait? Asked Harry, his voice gentle. Wanda turned and left, the weight of her worries showing in the slope of her shoulders. Harry watched her go, finally allowing his own worries to come to the surface. It had been 3 days since the hologram transmission from Rach. Since then, nothing. And today, the naval commander at Anacreon denied ever having heard of a ship called Arcadia 7. Harry had tried earlier to get through to Rach on Santani, but all communication beams were down. It was as if Santani, and the Arcadia 7, had simply broken off from the Empire like a petal from a flower. Selden knew what he had to do now. The Empire might be down, but it was not out. Its power, when properly wielded, was still awesome. Selden placed an emergency transmission to Emperor Aegis XIV. Chapter 29. What a surprise, my friend Harry! Aegis's visage beamed at Selden through the holoscreen. I am glad to hear from you, although you usually request the more formal personal audience. Come, you've piqued my interest. Why the urgency?
Sire, began Selden, my son Rach and his wife and daughter live on Santani.
Ah, Santani, the Emperor said as his smile faded. A bunch of misguided wretches, if I ever...
Sire, please, broke in Selden, surprising both the Emperor and himself with this flagrant breach of Imperial protocol. My son was able to get Manella and Bellis onto a hypership, the Arcadia 7, bound for Anacreon. He, however, had to remain. That was 3 days ago. The ship has not landed at Anacreon, and my son seems to have disappeared. My calls to Santani have gone unanswered, and now the communication beams are broken. Please, sire, can you help me?
Harry, as you know, officially all ties between Santani and Trantor have been severed. However, I still hold some influence in selected areas of Santani. That is, there are still a few loyal to me who have not yet been found out. Although I cannot make direct contact with any of my operatives on that world, I can share with you any reports I receive from there. These are, of course, highly confidential. But considering your situation and our relationship, I will allow you access to those pieces that might interest you. I am expecting another dispatch within the hour. If you like, I'll recontact you when it arrives. In the meantime, I'll have one of my aides go over all transmissions from Santani for the past 3 days to look for anything pertaining to Rach, Manella, or Bellis Selden.
Thank you, sire. I thank you most humbly.
And Harry Selden dipped his head,
as the Emperor's image faded from the holoscreen. 60 minutes later, Harry Seldon was still sitting at his desk, waiting to hear from the Emperor. The past hour had been one of the most difficult he had ever spent, second only to the hours after Dora's destruction. It was the not knowing that did Harry in. He had made a career of knowing, the future as well as the present. And now he had no idea at all about three of the people most precious to him. The holoscreen buzzed softly, and Harry pressed a contact in response. Aegis appeared. "Harry," began the Emperor. From the soft, slow sadness in his voice, Harry knew this call brought bad news. "My son," said Harry. "Yes," replied the Emperor. "Rach was killed earlier today in a bombardment on Santani University. I've learned from my sources that Rach knew the attack was coming, but refused to desert his post. You see, a good number of the rebels are students, and Rach felt that if they knew that he was still there, they would never... But hate overcame all reason. The university is, you see, an imperial university. The rebels feel they must destroy all things imperial before rebuilding anew. The fools, why..." And here Aegis stopped, as if suddenly realizing that Seldon did not care about Santani University or the plans of the rebels, not right now at least. "Harry, if it makes you feel any better, remember that your son died in defense of knowledge. It was not the Empire Rach fought and died for, but humanity itself." Seldon looked up out of tear-filled eyes. Weakly, he asked, "And Manella and little Bellis, what of them? Have you found the Arcadia Seven?" "That search has proved fruitless, Harry. The Arcadia Seven left Santani as you were told, but it seems to have disappeared. It may have been hijacked by rebels, or it may have made an emergency detour. At this point, we just don't know." Seldon nodded. "Thank you, Aegis. Although you have brought me tragic news, at least you have brought it. Not knowing was worse. You are a true friend." "And so, my friend," said the Emperor, "I'll leave you to yourself now, and your memories." The Emperor's image faded from the screen as Harry Seldon folded his arms in front of him on his desk, put his head down, and wept. Chapter 30. Wanda Seldon adjusted the waistband of her unisuit, pulling it a little tighter around her middle. Taking up a hand hoe, she attacked some weeds that had sprung up in her small flower garden outside the psychohistory building at Streeling. Generally, Wanda spent the bulk of her time in her office, working with her prime radiant. She found solace in its precise statistical elegance. The unvarying equations were somehow reassuring in this empire gone so crazy. But when thoughts of her beloved father, mother, and baby sister became too much to bear, when even her research could not keep her mind off the horrible losses she'd so recently undergone, Wanda invariably found herself out here, scratching at the terraformed ground, as if coaxing a few plants to life might somehow, in some tiny measure, ameliorate her pain. Since her father's death a month ago, and the disappearance of Manella and Bellis, Wanda, who had always been slim, had been losing weight. Whereas a few months ago Harry Seldon would have been concerned over his darling granddaughter's loss of appetite, now he, stuck in his own grief, seemed not to notice. A profound change had come over Harry and Wanda Seldon, and the few remaining members of the Psychohistory Project. Harry seemed to have given up. He now spent most of his days sitting in an armchair in the Streeling Solarium, staring out at the university grounds, warmed by the bright bulbs overhead. Occasionally, project members told Wanda that his bodyguard, a man named Stetton Palver, would badger Selden into a walk out under the dome, or try to engage him in a discussion of the future direction of the project. Wanda retreated deeper into her study of the prime radiant's fascinating equations. She could feel the future her grandfather had worked so hard to achieve finally taking shape. And he was right. Wanda retreated deeper into her study of the prime radiant's fascinating equations. She could feel the future her grandfather had worked so hard to achieve finally taking shape. And he was right. The encyclopedists must be established on Terminus. They would be the foundation. And section 33A2D17. In it, Wanda could see what Selden referred to as the second or secret foundation. But how? Without Selden's active interest, Wanda was at a loss as to how to proceed. And her sorrow over the destruction of her family cut so deep that she didn't seem to have the strength to figure it out. The members of the project itself, those 50 or so hardy souls who remained, continued their work as well as possible. The majority were encyclopedists, researching the source materials they would need to copy and catalog for their eventual move to Terminus, when and if they gained full access to the Galactic Library. At this point, they were working on Faith alone. Professor Selden had lost his private office at the library, so the prospects of any other project member gaining special access were slim. The remaining project members, other than the encyclopedists, were historical analysts and mathematicians. The historians interpreted past and current human actions and events, turning their findings over to the mathematicians, who in turn fit those pieces into the great psychohistorical equation. It was long, painstaking work. Many project members had left because the rewards were so few. Psychohistorians were the butt of many jokes on Trantor, and limited funds had forced Selden to enact drastic pay cuts. But the constant reassuring presence of Harry Selden had, till now, overcome the difficult working conditions of the project. Indeed, the project members who had stayed on had to a person done so out of respect and devotion to Professor Selden. Now, thought Wanda Selden bitterly, what reason is left for them to stay? A light breeze blew a piece of her blonde hair across her eyes. She pushed it back absent-mindedly and continued her weeding. Miss Selden, may I have a moment of your time? Wanda turned and looked up. A young man, she judged him to be in his early 20s, stood on the gravel path next to her. She immediately sensed him to be strong and fearsomely intelligent. Her grandfather had chosen wisely. Wanda rose to speak with him. I recognize you. You are my grandfather's bodyguard, are you not? Stetton Palver, I believe.
Yes, that's correct, Miss Selden, Palver said, and his cheeks reddened slightly, as if he were pleased that so pretty a girl should have given him any notice. Miss Selden, it is your grandfather I'd like to talk to you about. I'm very worried about him. We must do something.
Do what, Mr. Palver? I am at a loss. Since my father...
She swallowed hard as if she were having difficulty speaking.
Died, and my mother and sister disappeared. It is all I can do to get him out of bed in the morning. And to tell you the truth, it has affected me very deeply as well. You understand, don't you?
She looked into his eyes and knew that he did.
Miss Selden, Palver said softly, I am terribly sorry about your losses, but you and Professor Selden are alive, and you must keep working at psychohistory. The professor seems to have given up. I was hoping that maybe we, could come up with something to give him hope again. You know, a reason to go on.
Ah, Mr. Palver, thought Wanda, maybe Grandpa has it right. I wonder if there truly is any reason to go on.
But she said, I'm sorry, Mr. Palver, I can think of nothing.
She gestured toward the ground with her hoe.
And now, as you can see, I must get back to these pesky weeds.
I don't think your grandfather has got it right. I think there truly is a reason to go on. We just have to find it.
The words struck her with full force. How had he known what she had been thinking, unless...
You can handle minds, can't you? Wanda asked, holding her breath as if afraid to hear Palver's response.
Yes, I can, the young man replied. I always have, I think. At least, I can't remember not doing it. Half the time, I'm not even consciously aware of it. I just know what people are thinking, or have thought.
Sometimes, he continued, encouraged by the understanding he felt emanating from Wanda, I get flashes of it coming from someone else. It's always in a crowd, though, and I can't locate whoever it is. But I know there are others like me, us, around.
Wanda grabbed Palver's hand excitedly, her gardening tool tossed to the ground, forgotten.
Have you any idea what this might mean? For Grandpa? For psychohistory? One of us alone can do only so much, but both of us together.
Wanda started walking into the psychohistory building, leaving Palver standing on the gravel path. Almost to the entrance, she stopped and turned.
Come, Mr. Palver, we must tell my grandfather,
Wanda said without opening her mouth.
Yes, I suppose we should, answered Palver as he joined her.
Chapter 31. Do you mean to say I have been searching Trantor wide for someone with your powers, Wanda, and he's been here with us for the past few months and we never knew it?
Harry Selden was incredulous. He had been dozing in the solarium when Wanda and Palver shook him awake to give him their amazing news.
Yes, Grandpa. Think about it. I've never had occasion to meet Stettin. Your time with him has primarily been away from the project, and I spend the majority of my time closeted in my office, working with the Prime Radiant. When would we have met? In fact, the one time our paths did cross, the results were most significant.
When was that? Asked Selden, searching his memory.
Your last hearing, before Judge Lee, Wanda replied immediately. Remember the eyewitness who swore that you and Stettin had attacked those three muggers? Remember how he broke down and told the truth, and even he didn't seem to know why? But Stettin and I have pieced it together. We were both pushing Riel Navas to come clean. He had been very steadfast in his original claim. I doubt that either one of us would have been able to push him alone. But together...
She stole a shy glance at Palver, who was standing off to the side.
Our power is awesome.
Harry Selden took all this in and then made as if to speak. But Wanda continued,
In fact, we plan to spend the afternoon testing our mentalic abilities, separately and together. From the little we've discovered so far, It seems as if Stettin's power is slightly lower than mine, perhaps a 5 on my rating scale. But his 5, combined with my 7, gives us a 12. Think of it, Grandpa. Awesome.
Don't you see, Professor? Palver spoke up. Wanda and I are that breakthrough you're looking for. We can help you convince the worlds of the validity of psychohistory. We can help find others like us. We can help put psychohistory back on track.
Harry Seldon gazed up at the two young people standing in front of him. Their faces were aglow with youth and vigor and enthusiasm, and he realized it did his old heart good. Perhaps all was not lost after all.
He had not thought he would survive this latest tragedy, the death of his son and the disappearance of his son's wife and child. But now he could see that Rach lived on in Wanda. And in Wanda and Stettin, he now knew, lived the future of the Foundation.
Yes, yes, agreed Seldon, nodding forcefully. Come, you two, help me up. I must get back to my office to plan our next step.
Chapter 32
Professor Seldon, come in, said Chief Librarian Trima Acarnio in an icy tone of voice.
Harry Seldon, accompanied by Wanda and Palver, entered the Chief Librarian's imposing office.
Thank you, Chief Librarian, said Seldon, as he settled into a chair and faced Acarnio across the vast desk. May I introduce my granddaughter Wanda and my friend Stettin Palver? Wanda is a most valuable member of the Psychohistory Project, her specialty being in the field of mathematics. And Stettin? Well, Stettin is turning into a first-rate general psychohistorian, when he's not performing his duties as my bodyguard, that is.
Seldon chuckled amiably.
Yes, well, that's all well and good, Professor, said Acarnio, baffled by Seldon's good humor. He had expected the professor to come in groveling, begging for another chance at special library privileges.
But I don't understand what it is you wanted to see me about. I assume you realize that our position is firm. We cannot allow a library association with someone so extremely unpopular with the general population. We are, after all, a public library, and we must keep the public's sentiments in mind.
Acarnio settled back. Perhaps now the groveling would begin.
I realize that I have not been able to sway you. However, I thought that if you heard from a couple of the project's younger members, the psychohistorians of tomorrow, as it were, that perhaps you'd get a better feel about what a vital role the project, and the encyclopedia in particular, will play in our future. Please hear Wanda and Stettin out.
Acarnio cast a cold eye toward the two young people flanking Seldon.
Very well, then, he said, pointedly eyeing the time strip on the wall. 5 minutes and no more. I have a library to run.
Chief Librarian, began Wanda, as my grandfather has undoubtedly explained to you, psychohistory is a most valuable tool to be used for the preservation of our culture.
Yes, preservation, she repeated, upon seeing Acarnio's eyes widen at the word.
Undue emphasis has been placed on the destruction of the empire. By doing so, the true value of psychohistory has been overlooked. For with psychohistory, as we are able to predict the inevitable decline of our civilization, so are we able to take steps toward its preservation. That is what the Encyclopedia Galactica is all about, and that is why we need your help, and the help of your great library.
Acarnio could not resist smiling. The young lady had an undeniable charm. She was so earnest, so well-spoken. He gazed at her sitting in front of him, her blonde hair pulled back in a rather severe scholarly style, one which could not hide her attractive features,
but rather showed them off. What she was saying was starting to make sense. Maybe Wanda Selden was right. Maybe he had been looking at this problem from the wrong angle. If it were actually a matter of preservation rather than destruction... "Chief Librarian," began Stettin Palver, "this great library has stood for millennia. It, perhaps even more than the Imperial Palace, represents the vast power of the Empire. For the palace houses only the Empire's leader, while the library is home to the sum total of Imperial knowledge, culture, and history. Its value is incalculable. Does it not make sense to prepare a tribute to this great repository? The Encyclopedia Galactica will be just that, a giant summary of all the knowledge contained within these very walls. Think of it." All of a sudden, it seemed so very clear to Acarnio. How could he have let the board, especially that sourpuss Gennaro Mummery, convince him to rescind Selden's privileges? Laz Zenov, a person whose judgment he greatly esteemed, had been a wholehearted supporter of Selden's encyclopedia. He glanced again at the three in front of him, waiting for his decision. The board would be hard-pressed to find anything to complain about with the project members if the young people now in his office were a representative sample of the kind of persons involved with Selden. Acarnio rose and walked across his office, his brow furrowed, as if framing his thoughts. He picked up a milky crystal sphere from a table and hefted it in his palm. "Trantor," Acarnio began thoughtfully, "seat of the Empire, center of all the galaxy. Quite amazing when you think of it. We have, perhaps, been too quick to judge Professor Selden. Now that your project, this Encyclopedia Galactica, has been presented to me in such a light," he gave a brief nod to Wanda and Palver, "I realize how important it would be to allow you to continue your work here, and, of course, to grant access to a number of your colleagues." Selden smiled gratefully and squeezed Wanda's hand. "It is not only for the greater glory of the Empire that I am recommending this," continued Acarnio, apparently warming to the idea and the sound of his own voice. "You are famous, Professor Selden. Whether people think of you as a crackpot or a genius, everyone seems to have an opinion. If an academic of your stature is allied with the Galactic Library, it can only increase our prestige as a bastion of intellectual pursuit of the highest order. Why, the luster of your presence can be used to raise much-needed funds to update our collections, increase our staff, keep our doors open to the public longer. And the prospect of the Encyclopedia Galactica itself. What a monumental project. Imagine the reaction when the public learns that the Galactic Library is involved with such an undertaking designed to highlight the splendor of our civilization, our glorious history, our brilliant achievements, our magnificent cultures. And to think that I, Chief Librarian Trima Acarnio, is responsible for making sure that this great project gets its start." Acarnio gazed intently into the crystal sphere, lost in reverie. "Yes, Professor Selden." Acarnio pulled himself back to the here and now. "You and your colleagues will be granted full insider's privileges and a suite of offices in which to work." He placed the crystal sphere back on its table and with a swish of robes moved back to his desk. "It might take a little doing, of course, to persuade the board, but I am confident that I can handle them. Just leave it to me." Selden, Wanda, and Palver looked at each other in triumph, with small smiles playing at the corner of their mouths. Trima Acarnio gestured that they could go, and so they did,
leaving the chief librarian settled in his chair, dreaming of the glory and honor that would come to the library under his aegis.
"Amazing," said Selden, when the three were safely ensconced in their ground car. "If you could have seen him at our last meeting, he said I was threatening the essential fabric of our empire, or some such rot. And today, after just a few minutes with you two..."
"It wasn't too hard, Grandpa," Wanda said as she pressed a contact, moving the ground car out into traffic. She sat back as the auto-propel took over. Wanda had punched their destination coordinates into the control panel.
"He is a man with a strong sense of self-importance. All we had to do was play up the positive aspects of the encyclopedia, and his ego took over from there."
"He was a goner the minute Wanda and I walked in," Palmer said from the back. "With both of us pushing him, it was a piece of cake."
Pelver reached forward and squeezed Wanda's shoulder affectionately. She smiled, reached up, and patted his hand.
"I must alert the encyclopedist as soon as possible," Selden said. "Although there are only 32 left, they are good and dedicated workers. I'll get them installed at the library, and then I'll tackle the next hurdle, credits. Perhaps this alliance with the library is what I need to convince people to give us funding. Let's see. I'll call upon Terra Bindris again, and I'll take you two with me. He was kindly disposed toward me, at least at first, but how will he be able to resist us now?"
The ground car eventually came to a halt outside the Psychohistory Building at Streeling. The side panel slid open, but Selden did not immediately move to disembark. He turned to face Wanda.
"Wanda, you know what you and Stetton were able to accomplish with the Carneo. I'm sure you both can push some credits out of a few financial benefactors as well. I know how you hate to leave your beloved Prime Radiant, but these visits will give you two a chance to practice, to hone your skills, to get an idea of just what you can do."
"All right, Grandpa. Although I'm sure that now that you have the library's imprimatur, you will find that resistance to your requests has lessened."
"There's another reason I think it's important for the two of you to get out and around together. Stetton, I believe you said that on certain occasions you've felt another mind like yours, but haven't been able to identify it."
"Yes," answered Palver. "I've had flashes, but each time I was in a crowd, and in my 24 years, I can remember feeling such a flash just 4 or 5 times."
"But Stetton," said Selden, his voice low with intensity, "each flash was potentially the mind of another person like you and Wanda, another mentalic. Wanda's never felt these flashes, because, frankly, she's been sheltered all her life. The few times she's been out in a crowd, there must not have been any other mentalics around. That's one reason, perhaps the most important reason, for you two to get out, with me or without me. We must find other mentalics. The two of you alone are strong enough to push a single person. A large group of you, all pushing together, will have the power to move an empire." With that, Harry Selden swung his legs around and hoisted himself out of the ground car. As Wanda and Palver watched him limp up the pathway to the Psychohistory Building, they were only dimly aware of the enormous responsibility Selden had just placed on their young shoulders.
Chapter 33. It was mid-afternoon, and the Trantorian sun glinted on the metal skin covering the great planet. Harry Selden stood at the edge of the Streeling University observation deck, attempting to shield his eyes from the harsh glare with his hand. It had been years since he'd been out from under the dome, save for his few visits to the palace. And somehow those didn't count. One was still very much enclosed on the imperial grounds.
Selden no longer traveled around, only if accompanied. In the first place, Palver spent the majority of his time with Wanda, either working on the Prime Radiant, absorbed in mentalic research, or searching for others like them. But if he had wanted, Selden could have found another young man, a university student or a project member, to act as his bodyguard. However, Selden knew that a bodyguard was no longer necessary. Since the much-publicized hearing and the re-establishment of ties with the Galactic Library, the Commission for Public Safety had taken a keen interest in Selden. Selden knew that he was being followed. He had caught sight of his shadow on a number of occasions in the past few months. He also had no doubt that his home and office had been infiltrated by listening devices. But he himself activated a static shield whenever he engaged in sensitive communications. Selden was not sure what the Commission thought of him. Perhaps they were not yet sure themselves. Regardless of whether they believed him to be a prophet or a crackpot, they made it their business to know where he was at all times. And that meant that, until the Commission deemed otherwise, at all times Selden was safe. A light breeze billowed the deep blue cloak Selden had draped over his unisuit and ruffled the few wispy white hairs remaining on his head. He glanced down over the railing, taking in the seamless steel blanket below. Beneath that blanket, Selden knew, rumbled the machinery of a vastly complicated world. If the dome were transparent, one would see ground cars racing, gravicabs swooshing through an intricate network of interconnecting tunnels, space hyperships being loaded and unloaded with grain and chemicals and jewels, bound for and from practically every world of the Empire. Below the gleaming metal cover, the lives of 40 billion people were being conducted, with all the attendant pain, joy, and drama of human life. It was an image he loved dearly, this panorama of human achievement. And it pierced his heart to know that in just a few centuries, all that now lay before him would be in ruins. The great dome would be ripped and scarred, torn away to reveal the desolate wasteland of what was once the seat of a thriving civilization. He shook his head in sadness, for he knew there was nothing he could do to prevent that tragedy. But as Selden foresaw the ruined dome, he also knew that from the ground laid bare by the last battles of the Empire, living shoots would spring, and somehow Trantor would reemerge as a vital member of the new Empire. The plan saw to that. Selden lowered himself onto one of the benches ringing the deck's perimeter. His leg was throbbing painfully. The exertion of the trip had been a bit much. But it had been worth it to gaze once again at Trantor, to feel the open air around him and see the vast sky above. Selden thought wistfully of Wanda. He rarely saw his granddaughter at all anymore, and invariably Stettin Palver was present when he did. In the 3 months since Wanda and Palver had met, they seemed to be inseparable. Wanda assured Selden that the constant involvement was necessary for the project, but Selden suspected it went deeper than mere devotion to one's job. He remembered the telltale signs from his early days with Doors. It was there in the way the two young people looked at each other, with an intensity born not only of intellectual stimulation, but emotional motivation as well. Further, by their very natures, Wanda and Palver seemed to be more comfortable with each other than with other people. In fact, Selden had discovered that when no one else was around, Wanda and Palver didn't even talk to each other. Their mentalic abilities were sufficiently advanced that they had no need of words to communicate. The other project members were not aware of Wanda's and Palver's unique talents. Selden had felt it best to keep the mentalic's work quiet, at least until their role in the plan was firmly defined. Actually, the plan itself was firmly defined, but solely in Selden's mind. As a few more pieces fell into place, he would reveal his plan to Wanda and Pelver, and someday, of necessity, to one or two others. Selden stood, slowly, stiffly. He was due back at Streeling in an hour to meet Wanda and Pelver. They had left word for him that they were bringing a great surprise. Another piece for the puzzle, Selden hoped. He looked out one last time over Trentor, and before turning to make his way back to the gravitic repulsion elevator, smiled and softly said, "Foundation."
Chapter 34. Harry Selden entered his office to find that Wanda and Pelver had already arrived and were seated around the conference table at the far end of the room. As was usual with those two, the room was completely silent. Then Selden stopped short, noticing that a new fellow was sitting with them. How strange! Out of politeness, Wanda and Pelver usually reverted to standard speech when in the company of other people, yet none of the three was speaking. Selden studied the stranger, an odd-looking man, about 35 years old, with the myopic look of one caught up for too long in his studies. If it weren't for a certain determined set to the stranger's jaw, Selden thought he might be dismissed as ineffectual, but that would obviously be a mistake. There was both strength and kindness in the man's face. A trustworthy face, Selden decided.
"Grandfather," Wanda said, rising gracefully from her chair.
Selden's heart ached as he looked at his granddaughter. She'd changed so much in the past few months since the loss of her family. Whereas before she had always called him Grandpa, now it was the more formal grandfather. In the past, it seemed she could barely refrain from grins and giggles. Lately, her serene gaze was lightened only occasionally by a beatific smile. But now, as always, she was beautiful, and that beauty was surpassed only by her stunning intellect.
"Wanda, Alver," Selden said, kissing the former on the cheek and slapping the latter on the shoulder.
"Hello," Selden said, turning to the stranger who had also stood. "I am Harry Selden."
"I am most honored to meet you, Professor," the man replied. "I am Bor Alorin."
Alorin offered a hand to Selden in the archaic and hence most formal mode of greeting.
"Bor is a psychologist, Harry," said Pelver, "and a great fan of your work."
"More important, Grandfather," said Wanda, "Bor is one of us."
"One of you?"
Selden looked searchingly from one to the other.
"Do you mean..."
Selden's eyes sparkled.
"Yes, Grandfather. Yesterday, Stettin and I were walking through Erie Sector, getting out and around, as you'd suggested, probing for others. All of a sudden, wham, there it was.
We recognized the thought patterns immediately and began to look around, trying to establish a link," Palmer said, taking up the story. "We were in a commercial area near the spaceport, so the walkways were clogged with shoppers and tourists and outworld traders. It seemed hopeless, but then Wanda simply stopped and signaled, 'Come here,' and out of the crowd, Bor appeared. He just walked up to us and signaled, 'Yes?'"
"Amazing," Selden said, beaming at his granddaughter. "And, Doctor, it is Doctor, isn't it? Alorin, what do you make of all this?"
"Well," began the psychologist thoughtfully, "I am pleased. I've always felt different somehow, and now I know why. And if I can be of any help to you, why..."
The psychologist looked down at his feet, as if all of a sudden he realized he was being presumptuous.
"What I mean is, Wanda and Stettin said I may be able to contribute in some way to your psychohistory project. Professor, nothing would please me more."
Yes, yes, that's quite true, Dr. Aluren. In fact, I think you may make a great contribution to the project, if you'll join me. Of course, you'll have to give up whatever it is you do now, whether it is teaching or private practice. Can you manage that?
Why, yes, Professor, of course. I may need a little help convincing my wife.
At this, he chuckled slightly, glancing shyly at each of his three companions in turn.
But I seem to have a way with that.
So it's set, then, said Selden briskly. You will join the Psychohistory Project. I promise you, Dr. Aluren, this is a decision you will not regret.
Wanda, Stettin, Selden said later, after Bor Aluren had left, this is a most welcome breakthrough. How quickly do you think you can find more mentalics?
Grandfather, it took us over a month to locate Bor. We cannot predict with what frequency others will be found.
To tell you the truth, all this out and around takes us away from our work on the Prime Radiant, and it is distracting as well. Now that I have Stettin to talk to, verbal communication is somewhat too harsh, too loud.
Selden's smile faded. He had been afraid of this. As Wanda and Palver had been honing their mentalic skills, so their tolerance for ordinary life had diminished. It only made sense. Their mentalic manipulations set them apart.
Wanda, Stettin, I think it may be time for me to tell you more about the idea Hugo Amaril had years ago, and about the plan I've devised as a result of that idea. I haven't been ready to elaborate upon it until now, because until this moment, all the pieces have not been in place. As you know, Hugo felt we must establish two foundations, each as a fail-safe measure for the other. It was a brilliant idea, one which I wish Hugo could have lived long enough to see realized.
Here, Selden paused, heaving a regretful sigh. But I digress. 6 years ago, when I was certain that Wanda had mentalic or mind-touching capabilities, it came to me that not only should there be two foundations, but that they should be distinct in nature as well. One would be made up of physical scientists. The encyclopedists will be their pioneer group on Terminus. The second would be made up of true psychohistorians, mentalists, you. That is why I've been so eager for you to find others like you. Finally, though, is this. The second foundation must be secret. Its strength will lie in its seclusion, in its telepathic omnipresence and omnipotence. You see, a few years ago, when it became apparent that I would require the services of a bodyguard, I realized that the second foundation must be the strong, silent, secret bodyguard of the primary foundation. Psychohistory is not infallible. Its predictions are, however, highly probable. The foundation, especially in its infancy, will have many enemies, as do I today. Wanda, you and Palver are the pioneers of the second foundation, the guardians of the Terminus Foundation.
But how, Grandfather? Demanded Wanda. We are just two, well, three if you count Bor. To guard the entire foundation, we would need...
Hundreds? Thousands? Find however many it takes, granddaughter. You can do it, and you know how.
Earlier, when relating the story of finding Dr. Aluren, Stettin said you simply stopped and communicated out to the mentalic presence you felt, and he came to you. Don't you see? All along I've been urging you to go out and find others like you. But this is difficult, almost painful for you. I realize now that you and Stettin must seclude yourselves in order to form the nucleus of the second foundation. From there, you will cast your nets into the ocean of humanity.
Grandfather, what are you saying? Wanda asked in a whisper.
She had left her seat and was kneeling next to Selden's chair.
Do you want me to leave?
No, Wanda, Selden replied, his voice choked with emotion. I don't want you to leave, but it is the only way. You and Stettin must isolate yourselves from the crude physicality of Trentor. As your mentalic abilities grow stronger, you will attract others to you. The silent and secret foundation will grow. We'll be in touch, occasionally, of course. And each of us has a prime radiant. You see, don't you, the truth and the absolute necessity of what I am saying, don't you?
Yes, I do, Grandfather, said Wanda. More important, I feel the brilliance of it as well. Rest assured, we won't let you down.
I know you won't, dear, Selden said wearily. How could he do this? How could he send his darling granddaughter away? She was his last link to his happiest days, to Doris, Hugo, and Rach. She was the only other Selden in the galaxy. I shall miss you terribly, Wanda, Selden said as a tear worked its way down his finely creased cheek.
But Grandfather, Wanda said as she stood with Palver, preparing to leave, where shall we go? Where is the second foundation?
Selden looked up and said, the Prime Radiant has already told you, Wanda. Wanda looked at Selden blankly, searching her memory. Selden reached out and clutched at his granddaughter's hand. Touch my mind, Wanda. It is there. Wanda's eyes widened as she reached into Selden's mind.
I see,
Wanda whispered to Selden. Section 33A2D17. Star's End. Part 5. Epilogue. The Last Chapter. I am Harry Selden, former First Minister to Emperor Cleon I, Professor Emeritus of Psychohistory at Streeling University on Trentor, Director of the Psychohistory Research Project, Executive Editor of the Encyclopedia Galactica, Creator of the Foundation. It all sounds quite impressive, I know. I have done a great deal in my 81 years, and I am tired. Looking back over my life, I wonder if I could have, should have, done certain things differently. For instance, was I so concerned with the grand sweep of psychohistory that the people and events that intersected my life sometimes seemed inconsequential by comparison? Perhaps I neglected to make some small incidental adjustments here or there that would have in no way compromised the future of humanity, but might have dramatically improved the life of an individual dear to me. Hugo, Rach, I can't help but wonder, was there something I could have done to save my beloved Doris? Last month, I finished recording the Crisis holograms. My assistant, Gail Dornick, has taken them to Terminus to oversee their installation in the Selden Vault. He will make sure that the vault is sealed and that the proper instructions are left for the eventual openings of the vault during the crises. I'll be dead by then, of course. What will they think, those future Foundationers, when they see me, or more accurately, my hologram, during the first crisis, almost 50 years from now? Will they comment on how old I look, or how weak my voice is, or how small I seem bundled in this wheelchair? Will they understand, appreciate, the message I've left for them? Ah, well, there's really no point in speculating. As the ancients would say, the die is cast. Ah, well, there's really no point in speculating.
As the ancients would say, the die is cast. I heard from Gale yesterday. All is going well on Terminus. Bor Aluren and the project members are flirting.